Good morning. It's good to stand in front of you again today. Among the faces that I normally see, we do have some visitors with us, family from just moved here from North Dakota, and so we definitely want to welcome them and make them feel welcome here. Kind of what we're going to talk about this morning, about being here. In Acts 13, verse 22, we're told that David was a man after God's own heart, and he himself expressed this in Psalm 122. In verse 1, he says, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" He was very enthusiastic about the opportunity to go and be among others who were also enthusiastic about wanting to worship the Lord. And so that's an attitude that we should have ourselves as well when it comes to assembling and assembling together. And so, unfortunately, we do know that that's not a feeling that's shared by most of the world. And even those that come and will assemble in a service, there are many people that are there for whatever reason that's not for worship. But maybe it's because their parents want them to be there, or their spouse or their fiance, whoever the case may be. But you can tell that they're not here with all that as much enthusiasm as maybe others have. And so we have to look in ourselves and make sure that when we come here that we are wanting to be here for worship and not for any other reason. It's not hard when you stand up here, Mike and I stand up here, or even the song leaders, we can tell who is interested in being here and who's not. And it's not that difficult for us to pick up on those that are just really disinterested and be able to have that impact what they're listening to and what they're hearing. But when we come together, we should consider that our worship is a privilege, that the Lord allows us to be able to come together and worship Him and to worship among other people that share the same thoughts. And that in and of itself should be a great source of encouragement for all of us who are meeting here this morning. It can help us to get closer to God, and being around those that are like-minded who are striving also to please God, that should help us all get the most out of being here. And so it's so important that the saints assembling together is a very important duty. It's a very important command that we're given, and we should come together and exhort each other when we are here. We'll talk a little bit more about that as we go on as well. But I do want to start with one passage in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. And it says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." So when we are commanded to assemble, we shouldn't just look at it as something that we need to be doing or that we're ordered to be doing, but we should, like I said, realize it's a great honor, it's a great privilege that we have to be able to do that. And honestly, we are living in a country that maybe this is eroding a little bit, but we still have the freedom to come and worship openly and honestly when we come together. There are many countries where you couldn't meet together like this. And so we shouldn't ever take that for granted, that the privilege that we're given by God to come and worship Him is allowed to take place. And we should never, ever overlook that freedom. But we do need to put things into perspective when we do come together. And we should appreciate the opportunities that we have throughout the week, throughout the month, throughout the year to come and meet together in worship. And so I want to start with that we should look forward to every time that we have, every chance and opportunity we have to come and be together, because we make up the body of Christ, and we get to sing praises to God, we get to participate in prayer, we get to give of our means and of ourselves, and we get to learn more about our Creator and God. And those are all things that we can do on our own, but when we come together and do it, we surely are edifying and building each of us up together. And so we need to realize that when we come together to worship God, really the thing that should be foremost in our mind is that we're doing it to honor Him. When you worship something, you're hopefully you're showing why that person is due that honor. And so if we look at it as that, it'll help us immensely in our worship to God if we think about all these things when we do come together. I can promise that you'll find the worship boring and you won't enjoy what we do here if you don't have that mindset. And if you're miserable worshiping here on earth, well, I hate to break it to you. Eternity in heaven's not going to be your bag either. If you don't want to come together to be with the saints, why would you want to spend eternity with them if that's not what you want to do? Our worship to God on earth, I thought about, it's just really our spring training. It's our training camp. It's however we want to look at it. Our worship that we're doing here right now is just practice for the worship that we're going to do for the remainder of time when we arrive in heaven. And so we need to understand that the more we assemble together, the more we're here edifying and building each other up, whether it's today on the first day of the week or on Wednesday night when we have Bible study, or maybe it's when we have a gospel meeting and we come together to hear a guest speaker. Any gathering that we can come together and do so, surely it will make us stronger. Our faith will be built up by those opportunities that we have to come and be together. And so when you get around those who are like-minded, it doesn't matter what we're talking about. If you have a hobby and you meet together and you're with other people that share that same interest, you could just feel the enthusiasm. You feel that connection, that kinship you have with that person. Well, that doesn't change just because we're coming together to worship. That should help us all come to the same mindset about that. And it should help us remain focused on obtaining our goal, which is eternity in heaven. And so we need all the help we can get to stay motivated about most things. And we can come together and motivate ourselves about helping us keep our focus about getting there. And so we're going to talk about maybe some things that we can do to help ourselves have a better experience when we're here worshiping. And maybe one of the things you can do about coming together is that just preparing your mindset, getting your mind ready for worship. And this can really make a huge difference in what you get out of maybe Bible class and then worship, is if you are setting your mind on what it is you're about to be doing. And then you'll have a better attitude about being here once you get here. And this is true because in so many ways in our lives that if we're determined to do something, it'll help us do it. But I realize in this society, people are spread very, very thin. Their schedules are always busy. They're coming here and they're going there. And sometimes church just is one of those things that we can check off our list. Oh, we did that. And that's not an attitude we need to have. Because when we show up with our minds elsewhere, when we're thinking about the next thing we have to do, well, then our focus isn't on worship. It's on the next thing. And so we need to slow down when we're here and just forget about what else is out there. Because if you're thinking about something else and your mind is elsewhere, well, then you might as well be elsewhere. So it's crucial that we take time out before we ever step foot in this building and just be prepared to set things aside and start preparing ourselves for the purpose for which it is that we are coming together. It might be something as simple as just getting a good night's sleep the night before. I don't see too much of it here, people nodding off, but I've been a nodder offer in my past, and that was a lot of times because I stayed up doing what I wanted to do on Saturday night. I think we've all had situations like that. But if you can wake up being refreshed and being focused, well, you can actually be less likely to doze off, and you can get through the service without falling asleep. But it's a way that can help you be prepared. Others, you might listen to hymns in the morning or on the way here. You may have some mindset. You may choose to read some Bible passages before you get here. Maybe you want to pray to prepare your mind for it before assembling with the saints. I remember when I was a young boy, my mother would listen to every Sunday morning, would listen to WAVI radio, which doesn't even exist anymore. Brother Weldon Warnick, who was the preacher at Knollwood when I was growing up there, he had a Sunday morning radio show. He would do call-ins, he would take questions and so forth, and then he'd leave there and then come, obviously, for the services. But we listened to that every Sunday morning, and that was just another way to put in your mind, this is what this day is about. It's getting ready, preparing our minds to do so. And all of these are great methods, and there are probably others that I didn't even consider, but I just encourage you to maybe put something in place to help you start to prepare for when you get here, so that when you do get here, you can give all that you can to the worship. Arriving on time could be a good way to help us prepare. Anytime, if you're late for a work or late for an appointment or whatever, you come in and you're agitated, all that you know, the traffic stopped me, or I overslept, whatever the case may be, but it takes you a long time once you get to work when you've been late to kind of settle down and get ready to work. Well, the same could be for coming for the service. Is if you're running in the last minute, you're going to come in maybe a bit flustered, and it might take you some time to get focused on what we're doing here. And so just coming in and just making sure that you're here on time will help. And so another thing that you also can do, that you can think about, is just be mindful of that there are others here with us, that we're not worshiping alone. And I know that I appreciate knowing that there are going to be faces that I see here every service, that when I'm here, and when they're gone, it makes me miss them. I went to Donna this morning, and I said, "Where's Jim?" And well, he's down in Cambridge visiting with some family. But I noticed that Jim wasn't here, because he always is here. And so we need to realize that people can appreciate that we are here. That if I'm not here, someone will likely notice that I'm not here. Next Sunday, Shelley and I will be in Waynesville, because I'm going to be preaching down there. And there'll be someone that comes in, I wonder where Alan and Shelley are today. That's the attitude that I hope people have, because we are dedicated to being here. And that people are encouraged when we see each other here. But I can promise you do make an impact, no matter how insignificant you might think you might be in this congregation or in any congregation. But we definitely have each something that we can add. And Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verses 20 through 27, Paul tells us, "As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it." So Paul makes it very clear that every Christian has a place. Every Christian is worthy of honor. Every Christian is worthy and is important. And every Christian has their function within the body of Christ. And Paul says we are to care for one another. We're to take note of those that are suffering, and we are to suffer with them. And we are And we're to note who is being honored, and we are to honor ourselves along with them. And so we can join in with whatever the need may be with those that are here, but we can't do that unless we're noticing that. If we're not asking, if we're not inquiring about different situations that people may be going through, and we certainly can't notice them if we're not here. And so by being together, we should be able to help each other. We should be able to rejoice with them. Even if you feel that you don't need encouragement, then think about those that might be needing encouragement, and have your mind set on them and set on serving others instead of yourself. We talked about in class this morning about we don't really serve idols anymore or worship idols, but we tend to worship self. Well, that's the opposite of what we are being asked to do here. We should be looking to serve others and recognizing what they may need, because it'll help them, but it'll also help us get more out of being here. I mentioned we had visitors here this morning, and we should always be mindful when they are here with us, because believe me, when we go and visit other churches, you can tell whether they love each other or not. And that is something that a loving church can give off a good appearance, a good feeling. And many times visitors will come and they'll visit a church and they can quickly make up their minds whether or not this is a place they would want to be. And so it's up to us to make sure that when we do have visitors that we give off that impression that we do care for each other and that we do come together, worship together, and that we're here worshiping in the right way, in the right manner. Also, when we come together, we need to consider Jesus himself, because without the sacrifice that he gave for us, we have no reason to be here. The Bible teaches us that he is with us when we were gathered together. I mentioned that last Sunday when our numbers were a little bit down, that we're two or three to gather together, he's there. And on that early service last week, we were a little shy on people, but the Lord was here with us. And so we should realize that when we come together, he's here, and the Lord and the Father are watching us. And so we need to come here with the purpose and the mindset of worshiping God. And that should be our sole reason. And that should stir us to want to be more engaged in the service. And it should help us understand that what we need to do to get more out of the worship service, since we're doing it for him and we're not doing it for us. Another thing I'll just encourage you to do is engage yourself in the service. There are many parts throughout the service that whether you were involved in it directly or not, you still can be involved. Singing. When the song leader is up here and starts to sing, watch him. He'll be giving directions and indicating when Chris doesn't like him, but I love a good hold. I love holding those notes out. And if you're not looking at me, you're not going to know when I'm going to stop, because I'll keep it going sometimes. But the song leader is up here. He'll call out the song number, and you turn to that page, and just, I encourage you to just not sing, but look at the words. Pay attention to the words. There, some of the songs we sung this morning, I just love some of the phrases that were in them. And if you're just singing, then you're not picking up on those notes. When we are singing, we are edifying each other. We're singing to God. And in Ephesians 5, verses 18 and 19, we're told, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart." We're not singing alone. We're singing together, and we're singing to each other. And by singing and addressing each other in these psalms and our hymns, then we can be pleasing to the Lord. We're going to make melody to the Lord in our hearts, and we do that by singing together. And it's by, and yes, the lyrics in the songs are not inspired, but I always feel that the songs we sing, we all can agree upon, are biblically sound and based upon true scripture and so forth. And so that's something that we can do when we come together. Pay attention to the words and reflect on them as we're doing so. Prayer. You may not be the person that will be giving the prayer, but when Chris was up here earlier, I hope each one of you were listening to the words he was saying, because when we say amen at the end, we need to be in agreement with what was said. Now, I don't know if I've ever heard a prayer here where I didn't feel an amen at the end was necessary, but the thoughts that Chris expressed this morning were all good, sound thoughts. The prayers that he asked on behalf of different people were all needed. And so we can be involved in that prayer, whether we're leading it or not, by just joining in and thinking and contemplating the different thoughts that are said, so that you can make their prayer your prayer as well. And then preaching. When Mike and I are up here bringing the message that we've prepared, or we have a guest speaker a couple weeks when Mike and I are both going to be out of town, Brother Jeremy Price will be up here preaching. when whoever it is that is up here, your job is to listen carefully. Not that because I have such great points, but it's a part of what we come together to do. We share different thoughts together, and we can learn from that. From up here, I know there are several people that take notes. I see John taking notes, and Gary's pretty much a stenographer from the front row. He seems to just be writing as fast as he possibly can. And maybe you're doing that to help you focus and pay attention, because if you're writing notes, you must be listening. And maybe possibly you want to take them and reflect on them later on your own when you're doing some study. All of those are great reasons, and it could be valuable, because I hope the things that Mike and I say have value, and that maybe it can lead you to a different perspective on a verse that you've always heard. Whatever the case may be, you know, it's to your benefit to pass, you know, to listen and to be able to understand that. Now, I understand our society has lost the ability to listen long term. You know, our attention spans just seem to be getting shorter and shorter, and whether the media has caused that or the media is reflecting that, any movie or TV show or YouTube video, you rarely see a camera angle stay. They're just always switching and changing perspectives, because people get bored if you don't do that so much. I remember Larry Haefeli would come here and do Bible gospel meetings, and he'd preach over an hour every night. And that, even then, that, you know, that was hard to sit here and maybe focus that entire time. But society just would not tolerate that from other forms of media and so forth. And we've been ruined really by that mentality that's through our society, because we want things to be quick, condensed, and get on to the next thing. But when we come together and are worshiping, we need to throw that mentality out the window. When we're here, that's all that we should be focusing on, and it should help us to train ourselves to slow down and learn to listen better and allow us to reflect and not just be waiting for the sermon to be over so we can do the Lord's Supper and then wait for it to be over and then we can have the prayer and we can get out of here. Cherish the time we have here together. Second Peter, oh, I'm sorry. Really, I want to suggest to you the thing that you can take the most is the more you go, the more you will grow spiritually. If you're not here, the growth will stop. And so 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, the Apostle Peter says, "You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity." Really doesn't matter what we're talking about. If you want to get good at something, you need to be, it's repetition, you need to practice it and so forth. And the more you know about something, the more you'll come to appreciate it. I like what Peter says here in verse 17. If we don't study the word regularly, we will lose our stability. Stability is what we're based upon, what we're grounded upon. And if we stop studying the word, we are at risk of being carried away or getting caught up in error, as it says here. And we can fall away from it. And so we need to think of this as our biblical exercise. And among exercise, the idea is that the more you start to exercise and the more you do it, the more fit you'll become. Well, then people say, well, once you start jogging or once you start doing this exercise, you'll just want to do it more and more and more. You don't want to stop because how good it makes you feel. Now, I've been told this is true. I've never gotten to that point on my own before. Even a couple years back when I was training for my half marathon, Shelly asked me the other day, she goes, "How many miles do you think you walked that summer?" And I said, "I probably easily walked over 200 miles just in preparation for the half marathon. I'd walk on average about 15 or 16 miles a day." So I put in the time, and I don't remember one night I said, "You know what, I'm going to do one more mile." I just couldn't wait for it to be done. But I know there are people that don't have that mindset. They realize that by practicing, you can get enjoyment out of something. And so the same thing can happen when you start assembling more frequently with each other. At first, you may find it's arduous to get here for that 9 o'clock service or that Wednesday night service. But once you start to do it, it can become part of your habit. You'll get to the point where you don't want to miss a service because of the way it makes you feel when you're here. 1 Timothy chapter 4, 8 and 9 says, "For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance." Yes, exercise undoubtedly is good for you. It'll help you have longer life. I forget who someone was talking about that. Someone was like 80 years old and that they were still just going really good, you know, and it's because they regularly exercised, kept their body together. And so there's no doubt that our lives can be impacted by those types of things. With that mindset, or with that in your mind, worship is the same way. And I hope you can start to apply that thinking to coming to worship. And that if you do your best to make it to all the services and stop trying to do really what you're thinking is the bare minimum, that is what you can overcome. And you can start to be part of the service and you can worship the Lord even more faithfully. And if you struggle in this area, really there's just one thing you need to ask yourself. What is more important in my life, me or God? If you love God for what he's done for you, you should want to be here at every opportunity. It should not be a problem for you to understand how important it is to come together. And you should take advantage of every opportunity you have to assemble with the saints. I remember years ago, my mother, I would pray, "Thank you for the chance that you've given us to come together." And she said, "You shouldn't say chance, because that's almost like gambling. It's, you know, giving us the chance." No, you have the opportunity given to us, and it's up to us to take it. And so we have an opportunity. 9 o'clock, 9:30 for Bible study, 10:30 or 10:25 for this portion. We have an opportunity Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And you need to just understand that that opportunity is there for you, and no one can make you take it. But it is where you need to be. I hope that something I've said this morning can maybe add something additional to the way you serve and the way you worship here. And I hope we all can learn to have the attitude that David had when he said, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" Now, obviously, this sermon is being preached to people who have been here, so some of the people that need it the most aren't able to hear it. So that's why I directed it more towards when you're here, what we can be doing to get the most out of it. But on the flip side, though, there are those here this morning that have never decided to start to worship the Lord. And right now, Mike talked about in his first sermon about the terror that is from the fear of the Lord to fall into the hand of the Almighty God. And you don't fall into the hand of the Almighty God if you're worshiping him and if you're faithful to him and you're leading a life that is dedicated to him. But the terror will be real for those that have not named him as Jesus as their Savior and been baptized in the waters of baptism and then maintained a faithful life. And so we just encourage you to realize that you are in great peril. That terror is something that no movie could ever replicate. That terror is everlasting, and that terror will never stop. And I encourage you to strongly consider where you'll be in all eternity and act accordingly. If we can help you in any way, we ask you to come as we stand now and as we sing.